Paul writes these words, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Ellis, are you coming up? Or I didn't know if you were going to sit back and relax this time. Please join with me in silent meditation as we prepare to receive communion. And I would invite at a certain time all those who are saved, who are in with the Lord, who are of that knowledge and desire to share in communion, to come forward. Would you please repeat after me? The bread that we break is the body of Christ. The cup that we drink is the blood of Christ for the continuing of His covenant. This we do in remembrance of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask Your blessing at this time as we prepare to invite You in and share the communion that You have given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All who desire to be in communion may proceed forward at this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for letting us share that moment. Let it dwell within our hearts and be reminded that after Jesus taught us this, He was crucified. He died, won victory over death, and rose again, and gave us the new covenant. By believing in Him, we shall all have everlasting life. Amen. I have no problem, even now, at 43 years old, getting dirty. I can get dirty so fast, you just look at a windy ocean and yep. I walk by dirt and it jumps on me. And I'm happier that way. I always identified with Pigpen from Charlie Brown. To me, there was nothing greater in the world than getting dirty, because it meant you were doing something. I enjoy it. I feel good when I get dirty, when I've been doing work. In fact, there is a place, and I hope it still exists, because I'm hoping when I turn 50, I get sent there. There is a place out in the Midwest where you can be invited, and I forget how much it costs, by a Caterpillar Tractor Company to what they call the world's largest sandbox. And at the Caterpillar largest sandbox, you can run every piece of equipment they have ever built, from the very smallest to the D12H, the biggest bulldozer on the face of this planet. Can you imagine me being turned loose there? And you're going to get dirty, because you don't just go there and put on your fancy clothes and sit in the seat and pull a few levers. Oh, no. They slap a grease gun in your hand and a shovel and you go to work. And you get to dig dirt and carry dirt and pick up dirt and move dirt. It's dirt, 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 dirt. Never been there, but I know how to get dirty and I have fun doing it. And now I get to see me through two little sets of eyes who don't like to take baths either. Amen. My children come out and they get dirty. All right, let's go clean up for baths. I don't want to take a bath. I'm with you, friend. I'm with you. I'm right there, boy. Now I know what I sounded like when Dad would go, "I don't think there's an inch on you that is clean. Get in the bathtub." Why? dry. But when they get clean, they always come downstairs afterwards going, I sure feel better, Daddy. I sure feel better, Daddy. They are no longer dirty. They get to sit on the couch now. They can come sit in the chair with me. They're fit to be back in the house. And let me tell you what. They need that after they spend time in the shop with me. And see, fellas, that's the beautiful thing about having children, isn't it? You haul them into the shop, dirty them up, send them up to the house. You come up to the house, they're sparkling clean. You never heard any of it. I try to get them dirty when they're down in the shop. Come here, pick up this grease off the floor. Here, roll around over here and see what you see underneath this tractor. And when they come out of that shop, they are dirty. And when I come up to the house, they are clean and I am in trouble because of the ring around the tub, which I get told I have to clean up. And I never do. But that's play dirt. That's the fun part of getting dirty. But today we talk about baptism and the dirt that it removes. See, what baptism means, very simply, an outward sign of an inward change. Getting baptized ain't going to save you. If it would, we'd have a world full of Christians every time we go swimming. Baptism in the Church of the Brethren is a symbol. It is a ceremony. It is not salvation. Your belief in Jesus Christ, your belief and profession and proclamation of Him is what saves you. Baptism shows it. Amen. Too many times I heard, well, I asked somebody, hey, have you been baptized? Yeah, I was baptized when I was 6 months old. And, well, I'm saved. Saved from what? Well, you don't need to get baptized again if you've been baptized once. Really? When you were 6 months old, could you read, write, talk? Could you understand English? Well, of course not. Then you weren't saved. Have you ever made a proclamation of Jesus Christ as your Savior? I don't need to. I was baptized. You're still dirty. Today we talk about no longer becoming dirty. We talk about the simplest expression of love. Baptism. Open your Bibles up. 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman. One of the best baptism stories ever put in the Bible. One of the best, not the best, but one of the best ones. Naaman. Everybody in this room could be a Naaman. Because you know what? I hate to tell you this, we're all hard-headed. And if you sit there and tell me you're not. Verse 1. Now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram said. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 sets of clothing. The letter he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill him, bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to quarrel with me. When Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him to say, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he surely would have come out to meet me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. But Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if a prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed?'" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please now accept a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged, he refused. "I will not," said Naaman. "Please let me be your servant. Be given as much earth as a pair of mules could carry, for your servant never will again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. May the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. Go in peace," Elisha said. Let's stop right there. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds to receive this message. Let it be from you to hear. Let it be through me, not of mine, but of yours. Let it be upon our ears and be strong. In Jesus' name we give this thanks. Amen. It is baptism day. Now, growing up the way I did, I have lots and lots of stories about baptism. I can tell you that when Dad was preaching back at Johnstown Church, and Brother, and I know I've shared this story before, that the lady came forward one Sunday, had been white knuckling the bench, and she finally came forward and fell and gave her heart and soul and her everything to Jesus in front of the whole church. And there wasn't a dry eye. I don't remember the crying, but I'm sure it was. But I remember her telling Dad, "I want to get baptized, and I want to get baptized right now." "No problem." Dad said, "No problem. Let's go up the Cherry Run River." That's what she said to him. Dad said, "No problem. Let's go up the Cherry Run River." It was January. And they went up to the Cherry Run River the next Sunday. And they took axes and busted a hole in the ice, and down in the water they went. And baptized her. 3 times forward, as we dunkers do. And they walked up out of that river and they got wrapped up in wool blankets and never got sick. Now, if any of you among you ever want to go into the river in January and you come to me and say, "Paul, I need to be baptized. I need to do it right now. And it's January." Guess what? I'll be right there with you. Because I ain't scared. And that's what baptism is. And that's what we look at when we hear about Naaman. He was scared. You can read whatever you want to into this book, but he was scared. How do you know he was scared? What's the first thing you do when you get good and scared? Say somebody has snuck up behind you and blah, blah, blah. What's the first thing you do? If you're my wife, you turn around and smack me. because you're angry because you're scared. You could even be some smart alecky husband that lays a bunch of toy snakes all over the basement floor. I wouldn't know about that story, Greg. But Naaman was something else. He had Hansen's disease, which is the name they finally gave leprosy. And contrary to popular belief, your body parts will not fall off if you get leprosy. But after reading about it, you'll wish they had. What will actually happen is the tissues will die to the point that the member will die. And it gets cut off. Leprosy eats from the outside, eats from the inside out. It's a respiratory thing. And eventually you start to get growths all over you. And your skin becomes so sore you can't touch it. Naaman apparently was not a full-blown leper because he was still in the king's army. He may have had a mild case of it, but he had a problem with it nonetheless. Imagine what it would be like if you had a bad rash and you've had them, or you had a bad cut and the very shirt you wear attended you pain. That was Naaman. And yet he still fought. He still stood up for the king. And we see in this scripture the simplest solution. The servant girl. The lowest of the lowest of the low. A captured person comes to Naaman and says, "Master, go see this man over in Israel." She wasn't anybody great. Bible doesn't even give her a name. But we do know that that is an example of what Jesus has told us. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. But Master, go see the man in Israel. Well, Naaman said, "Let me go ask my master." And of course, the king was excited because he loved Naaman. He had great faith in Naaman. And he said, "Go! Go find that man. Take gifts to him. Take 10 sets of clothing." That part always makes me laugh in the Bible. Wondering what in the world a man is going to do with 10 sets of clothes. A man, mind you. He had him take gold and silver and clothing, and he went to him. And Naaman, the great warrior that had won so many victories, humbled himself before the prophet. And we read those words. He said, "Fix it." But first he had to go to the king of Israel. And the king became mad because he expected the king to fix him. The king didn't understand that he was simply seeking the path. Of course, Elijah heard about it. He said, "Well, send him here." Now, my last name is Leatherman. And with the last name of Leatherman, there comes a certain amount of knowledge, notoriety. Sometimes it's a little bit infamous in my case. And I go a lot of places and I get noticed for no reason. And it was funny this morning because when I went over to Stephen and reintroduced myself, he goes, "I know who you are. Somebody like you is hard to forget." We ride motorcycles. One time my wife and I rode down to Washington, D.C. to go down and see the great memorials on Memorial Day weekend. We rode down with about 1,000 other bikes. And we pulled up on the mall in D.C. There was 500,000 motorcycles there. There was, I don't even know how many people. We were with a couple of friends. We pulled up and got off the bike. And this is a true story. You ask Wendy afterwards. I'll say it with my hand open. My foot had not completely cleared the seat yet when in a sea of people, somebody went, "Paul Leatherman!" And I spun around and it was somebody I knew down there in the middle of this. Of course, our friends like to fell over. So sometimes you get accustomed to being noticed. Naaman was famous. He was the great warrior. And what does it say? He went to see Elisha and Elisha didn't even come out to see him. He's like, "Just tell him to go down there and get in the water 7 times and he'll be all good." Now, I can imagine how that would be. Because I have walked into Central Tractor, I have walked into Tractor Supply many, many times because I think I'm the great tractor man and I should be known all over the world. And I've let them doors open and went, "I am here! Sell to me!" And the people behind the counter look at me and go, there he is. Naaman got mad. How mad do you get when somebody tells you to do something that you don't want to do, even though you know you're supposed to do it? Go take a bath, boys.
I don't want to go take no bath. I'm happy being dirty. I'm going to go take no bath.
Boys, I'm your father. I said go take a bath. They go upstairs and take a bath. Now it's getting on toward the evening. I hear those words. You ain't going to sit around this house all dirty like that, are you? I don't want to sit. I don't want to take no bath right now. Go take a bath is what he said, basically. Go dip yourself in the water. Go do something so simple. And that's what the gospel tells us. That the simplicity of Jesus Christ is just saying, I accept it. And we can't. I don't want, I hear this all the time. I'd like to. Okay, I'm right here right now. I can help you with this. I'm pretty good at this kind of thing. Well, not this moment. I got to get a couple things squared away first. Like what? What do you got to do? I'll give you 15 words to say, and then you're saved. And I'll get you started. Well, I don't want to be a Christian or something like that, you know, right away, because I'm not ready. I watch people from up on the pulpit white knuckle the bench. And I think you're ready. Why? Naaman was ready. If you had leprosy, you were ready to be cleansed of it, I'll guarantee you. Why do you think he took time to argue with the man at the gate, the messenger, that said, go down and put yourself in the water 7 times? What? Me? The great me? You hear what he said? Aren't the rivers that we have just as clean, if not better, more pure than the Jordan? I've never been to the Jordan River, but nobody surely has. Is it a big river? Is it a deep river? Is it a clean river? So it makes you wonder, why in the world would Naaman say that? I'll tell you why. He's hard-headed, just like the rest of us. When you could be baptized and get cleaned up. Oh, I can't. When I ask you to come forward on a Sunday morning, if you need that extra prayer. Well, not this Sunday. So he took off mad. I ain't going to do that. I told my wife one night, after working outside in the yard all day, I was covered in grass clippings and dirt and mash and everything like that. And she says, you need to take a shower before you stand in that chair. I'll tell you what, I'll go out there and sleep in the lawn swing. I went out and laid down in the lawn swing. You know what I found out? Mosquitoes like me too. Because I'm hard-headed. I went in the house, took a shower. No mosquitoes in the house. Naaman went away mad. Mad! He didn't realize that the simplest thing was waiting for him. But his servants got a hold of him and said, look, if the prophet had told you to stand on the mountaintop and open up your hands and sing unto the Lord, because that would be great and something to see, you'd do that in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? Why in the world won't you just go get in the water 7 times and be done with it, you big sissy? That's what I would have said. I'd have been in chains later on, I'm sure, but why won't you just get baptized? Jesus did it. Did it. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied in words that were so beautiful, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. It is proper to do this. Always. I get questioned a lot of times. Paul been baptized once right after I got saved. I don't need to go in again. Well, why not? Well, it ain't the right thing to do. Says who? The Bible says John went baptizing all around the Jordan. I'm sure he did the same person a couple times. You get dirty, don't you? You take a bath, don't you? If you got that moment, there is nothing wrong with wanting to go back in and reconnect into that spirit. Jesus said, do it. Let it be so. Let us do this right now, John. If you've ever seen the movie The Greatest Story Ever Told, anybody in here ever seen it beside me? That scene when Max von Sydow, I can never say his word right, when Max walks down in the water portraying Jesus, and there stands Charlton Heston, boys. Got on that camel's hair coat, all tanned, all big and bad. He's in there putting them down. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Splash! Repent. Here comes Jesus. And Big John, he ain't so big anymore. He's like, I can't do it. That scene is so beautiful because Max looks at him with those piercing eyes playing Jesus and says, baptize me, please. And he does. I love seeing that scene. I'll rewind it, look at that, rewind it, look at that, rewind it. For it is proper to do so now. That's what Jesus said. For it is proper for what we're going to do today. But to remember that baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. An outward sign of an inward change. And Naaman needed to catch up to that. He needed to understand what was being said. He needed to hear those words from somebody else other than him. How many times has it been somebody else who told you you were doing wrong and you finally listened to them? Regardless of what your best friend says. My wife can tell me I'm doing something wrong 30,000 times. And I won't listen to her. Because it's my wife. My Uncle Harold walks in the house and says, you're doing that wrong. Really? Well, let me try to change that a little bit. It's the nature of the beast. And Naaman was that person. The Bible story that we're hearing today explains that greatly to us. What's it say? He went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times and came out clean. Then Naaman's made the statement, I know that there is no God, no God in all this world except for the God in Israel. No more idols, no more nothing. Just simply that. Imagine that experience when you come out of that water. I've been baptized twice. Once when I was 14 years old and once with Wendy. And every time I come out of that water, I feel a little different. He was changed so much that he became so afraid of the Lord that he asked forgiveness for what he perceived as a sin when he would go into the temple with his master to offer an arm to him to help him up and down. And Elisha knew that the heart had been changed and said, go in peace. I know you're not bowing to that God. Go in peace. That's what baptism does. That's what we're going to do here today. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I am surely with you always to the end of the age. Go ahead, Charlene, Buck, Wally, Dustin. Come up here with me. From the littlest to those who know, to those who've learned. Dustin, Glenn, Buck, and Wally have all made their first commitment, their first confession of faith, their absolute belief in Jesus Christ, the Lord. And have made their desires known to be baptized. And believe you me, I've checked them out. And Charlene wants to be awoken again. Wants to be brought back closer. Wants to feel that closeness again. First of all, you will recall that Jesus Himself was baptized. In the 3rd chapter of Matthew, verses 13 to 17, we read, then Jesus came from Galilee to John, to the Jordan to John, and to be baptized. Then near the close of His ministry, Jesus gave the Great Commission. From these scriptures, we learn the example and teachings of Jesus. Historically, baptism is universally recognized as the initiatory rite of those who want to be Christians. It is a sacrament of birth into new Christian life. It is a symbol of cleansing and discipleship by this act. This act you are acknowledging your faith in Jesus Christ. By this act, you are being received and cleansed and being forgiven and received as a child of God. By this act, you signify your desire to become a member of His body as well as this church. Something to think about. These are my sons. I now call them daughters. Dustin, you are your father's son. You will now be known as him brother. You still have to listen to him. Charlene, you are my sister. And I never knew you. Let us think further concerning the breadth and depth of this fellowship of the church, which you now come to by baptism. Through the sacrament of baptism, you are on this day being received into the Holy Catholic Church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christian believers of every race, language, tradition, faith throughout the whole world and of all ages have done this as their signal. You are this day being received into the Church of Brotherhood. This family, look around you, this family of the whole church Christ offers you its rich heritage and invites you to share fully in its mission. You are being received as a member of this Long Meadow congregation of the Church of the Brethren. This church will surround you with loving fellowship, the means of grace, and the opportunity to worship, study, service, and be of a spiritual nature. You will be counted responsible, working, growing, witnessing members of Christ's church beginning here in this, your home church. In the name of the church, I now welcome you. Having been reminded of your duty here, and having been made whole by your profession, by your proclamation, by your desire to be members of Christ, you now prepare for your baptism. Answer me, please. Do you repent of your sins and confess in the name of Jesus Christ? If so, answer, I do. Amen. Do you propose to live in keeping with the teachings of the Spirit of the New Testament?
I do.
Do you propose to be faithful members of the body of Christ?
I do.
Do you desire to seal these vows with Christian baptism?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son?
I do.
And do you receive and trust Him as your Savior?
I do.
Do you turn away from all sin and endeavor to, by God's grace, live according to the examples and teachings of Jesus?
I do.
Will you be loyal to the church, upholding her by your prayers, your presence, your substance, and your service?
Having heard the sacred vows these persons have made before God and in this congregation, do you now receive them as members of this church?
If so, you answer, we will, loudly, please.
We will.
Will you surround them with Christian love and fellowship, sharing with them the yoke of Christ, and encouraging them by your Christian example?
We will.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless upon us now as we prepare for this moment, this time, this baptism. Let us see that your will be done in these new lives and refreshed lives, and that they be lifted up to the glory and honor of your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, by the confession of your faith made before God and this congregation, your family, your brothers and sisters, I will now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the repentance and remission of sins and for the adoption into the family. Amen. You want to say
amen?
Yes,
we're going to say. We're going to say number 4.
I'm going to
baptize you.